with the latest news now.
Devastating floods in Libya has killed at least 5,500 people. Officials are predicting that the tally could, however, climb to 20,000, as at least 9,000 are still missing. But Foreign Office Minister David Rutley says it is vital that the country's two rival governments work together.
The two groups in Libya are working together, or at least talking. That's going to be critical to make sure there's a flow of funds and, more importantly, the support that is provided on the ground.
The NHS waiting list in England is now at a record high, with 7.7 million people waiting for treatment. Speaking on BBC Breakfast, Steve Barclay says that they have made progress in tackling the longest waits.
So we've been bringing the longest waits down, so we made progress in terms of the two-year waits last summer. We've also virtually eliminated the 18-month waits, but there has been pressure through the industrial action.
A Russian pilot believed he had permission to shoot down an RAF spy plane, but intercepted communications suggest the pilot fired after receiving ambiguous command from a Russian ground station. Keir Starmer has vowed to take control of small boats. In a vicious political battle with the government, the Labour leader described the nonsense claims that he would let the UK become a dumping ground for 10,000 migrants from the EU each year. The government has said that more steps are to be needed to protect Chinese interference, adding acknowledgement that the investment is needed to ensure that the UK has the resources it needs to respond to long-term challenges that rising Asian power poses. Unions have warned that time is running out to avert school strike actions. It's after GMB Scotland rejected the latest pay offer put to unions. And in football, Kyle Walker has signed a new contract with Manchester United until 2026. He's agreed to a two-year extension. And that's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ellie Robson.
Radio Works.
The features of the iPhone 15 have been revealed by Apple, marking the latest smartphone to be produced by the tech manufacturer. Here's tech expert Jason Bradbury to tell us more.
USB is the big headline for the iPhone 15's titanium chassis on the two Pro models, plus their next-gen A17 Pro silicon, and what amounts to seven cameras in one, plus a 5x optical telephoto on the Pro Max, and that programmable action button. A focus of this launch was connectivity, and EE offers the UK's best 5G network, and exclusively the Apple One bundle in its plans, so worth taking a look.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
We'll see a band of cloud with outbreaks of rain that will push north overnight. Elsewhere largely dry with some clear spells and scattered showers, which will mostly be in the far north.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village, here for young people. Check out our impressive range of recreational activities for young people. It's the perfect way to stop the kids from getting bored this summer. See ymcanewarkshower.org for details.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
One is you make me happy, two is you set me free from all the things that help me, that from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness, now I can finally breathe. Now I can finally breathe, but baby, don't you see? I still get frustrated, thinking like, when you keep on doing things I don't like. And I hate your friends, and I hate your mom, and I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I do. I got 21
watches, 79, keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I do.
Good evening and a very warm welcome from Newark Radio. This is Gory on the Sports Hour. How you all doing? So, last week we had Scott in for his efforts on doing all the things for the bereavement centre, and it was an amazing show. And on the Friday night, Scott got a very well-deserved reward. Well done to Scott. And this week, well, we have Joiner, who always joins us, but also Luke Parsons from Newark Football Club, and looking forward to talking to those guys. Should be a great show, so stick around and we'll speak to you very, very shortly. Fly. Lately, Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport. I'm here with Joino and Luke Possums from Newark Town Football Club. Welcome, boys.
How do you, mate? All right.
Welcome.
Yeah, all good, thank you. Not bad at all. Luke, thanks for coming. What we're going to do, Luke, is going to include you as well tonight. We're going to talk about the local sport, what's been happening in the last week. Joino, you're going to start us off.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Newark Rugby Football Club. Their first team captain is just running out now this season in his sixth season as club captain, which is now a club record, the longest serving captain. So it's great congratulations to Will Britton there for his dedication to Newark Rugby Club. He's played there most of his life, starting out as a youngster and now doing the fulfilment at the back end of his career. So that's a massive achievement for Will.
Brilliant news. Football news, Luke. So let's talk about Newark Town and a couple of the results over the last few days.
Yes, so last Saturday we hosted West Bridgeford in the league and we came out 4-1 winners. And then Wednesday night just gone, we played Retford United in the Notts Cup, which we progressed the next round by winning 5-3.
Last night?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Last weekend?
Last weekend was the West Bridgeford, where we won 4-1.
4-1 there. Okay. So that's great news. Tony, have you got anything else at the minute, or shall I just move on?
I just wanted to quickly mention the Newark Town ladies, who entered their first FA Cup game last Sunday. They travelled out to Wibberton and put up a very good showing, but sadly came out on the wrong end of a 4-2 defeat, but by all accounts made a very good account of themselves. So.
Doing all right, aren't they, the ladies?
Yeah, they are, yeah. It's going to be a tough season for them this year. They got promoted last year, so so we'll keep a close eye on them.
Brilliant stuff. I know I have got to mention this. I've just read the advertiser as well, and it's really good news. There's a guy called Ash Cowling from Newark Rowing. I hope you're listening tonight, Ash. Congratulations, he's been picked for the England squad to do some rowing, and they came a respectable third. He's joined up with a young lady from down south, so he's just the only one from Europe, but the young lady from down south is his mixed partner. So they've done really, really well. So congratulations to them. And I also just wanted to mention that I had a few weeks ago, I had the wheelchair basketball team in.
Yep.
And one of the guys that I knew, Dave, he is going to compete in the Invictus Games, so he has already. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they might have a silver or gold medal in the wheelchair rugby. So I know he plays in both. So he does the wheelchair rugby and the basketball. And so first of all, I think it was the rugby, and I think he's got a winner's medal, or at least runners-up, because I know they got to the final. They played the USA. So massive congratulations to him. They were great when they came in. So, yeah, so is that what we've got for tonight?
Yeah,
we're all good. Okay, so moving on, we're going to play another little song and then we will come back and we'll talk to Luke and Joino about Newark Town.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Everybody needs more space, or ideally an extra room. Whether you want a new shed, a summer house, a garden office, or a bespoke outside building, you need the Shed Brothers. Our business is built on quality and honesty. We provide the full service, from a free survey to design and installation. And we're family run. We're the Shed Brothers. We're brothers and we make sheds and all sorts of timber buildings. Check out the Shed Brothers on social media or online at theshedbrothers.co.uk.
Find fantastic entertainment on your doorstep at the Palace Theatre Newark. From hilarious comedy to absorbing drama, star names to terrific tributes, find family fun, romantic date ideas and big nights out with friends, all in the heart of town. Find the full programme and book now at palacenewark.com or call Newark 655-755.
When you are ready, I will surrender. Take me and do as you will. Have what you want, your way's always the best way.
control this empty delusion, lost in the fire below. And you come running, your eyes will be open. Ooh. And when you come back, I'll be as you want me, only so eager to please. My little song will keep you beside me, thinking your name as I sing. Bring it back, sing it back, bring it back, sing it back to me. Bring it back, sing it back, bring it back, sing it back to me. Bring it back, sing it back, bring it back, sing it back to me.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. Very good evening to Joino. And like Luke Parsons, thank you for coming in this evening, Luke.
No problem at all.
So, we're going to talk about Newark Town. We're going to talk about what's been happening. But let's talk a little bit about Luke. So, where did your football career all start, Luke? Give us a bit of a history about Luke.
So football for me started from the under nines, to be fair, when Newark Town. And all through my youth career, I played for Newark Town up till under 16s. When we went into men's football, then I moved on to Balderson Athletic on Sundays, and eventually moved across to Newark Town Sundays. And then from there, really, I got involved on Saturdays. I think Tony Joins to my right here was my manager. Got me involved on Saturdays, and then from there, really, I played for Newark Town up until I took charge, really, and took over the first team as manager.
Okay. Joino, so we know a little bit about you over the years, so I'm going to obviously talk about your younger youth. Where did you, tell us all about Joino.
My younger youth, well, I started out with a team called Balderton Village Boys, manager called Pete Riley, when I was
young Pete Riley,
shall we say. So I started off there, then obviously numerous youth clubs from Southwold, Swinderby, Balderton sides, and then obviously when I turned 16, I ended up signing for Johnny Hill, Balderton Old Boys as it was then.
So and Johnny, I was at Balderton Old Boys at a young time. So I don't know if we were there at the same time.
No, we weren't there at the same time because you're just slightly older than me, Mark. So
thank you for that.
We would have missed that generation. but the year I signed for Johnny Hill, I was probably there for about 6 months. Of the season, and then fortunately for me, I got picked up by Grantham Town when I was 16, so ended up having a couple of years there with one of the old Forest legends, Martin O'Neill. Who was manager there at the time. Massive experience for me, playing under somebody of that calibre. John Robertson was there as well as his sidekick, as he was pretty much all the way through O'Neill's managerial career. So yeah, it gave me a good start, and then I went on to Martin O'Neill went to Shepshed, took me with him, did all the pre-season. Then unfortunately for me, I got struck with glandular fever, so it kind of put me out of the game for a bit, and I kind of missed the boat. So when I got the bell, sort of back right from glandular fever, I kind of missed the boat. So then I went back to Grantham and then ended up at Bourne, where I spent most of my footballing career.
So then, you spent a long time at Bourne, didn't you?
Yeah, 12 years on and off, yeah.
Wow, okay. And what step were they at the time?
They would have been in today's level step 5, so the UCL Premier as okay. It is now. So
good level, don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what point did you then go over to Newark Town, join it?
Well, when I had a bad knee injury and I was starting to struggle at that level, so I came back to Newark. I ended up having a year for Newark Flow Surf under Graham Briggs, as okay. manager.
The old Simos?
The old Simos side, yeah. Okay. Picked up a hamstring injury and kind of had a fallout with the manager. It was one of them where, you know, and it's Dave Illier at the time was running the reserves.
Right, okay.
So when I got myself back fit, I just rang Dave and said, look, I'll come and play for you if you want me, like, you know, and just see the season out, which I did. And do you know what? I fully enjoyed it because the likes of young Davis, Craig Roach, Kingsman, all these good young lads at the time was all of an age where they were starting out their adult career.
Yeah.
So it was really good to play amongst them young lads. And then at the end of the season, I got approached by Newark Town. If I'd be interested in taking over the first team.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there, Johnny, because we'll talk about how you guys then got together. We're going to have a little break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the managerial side of Newark Town.
Yep.
To Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. Very warm welcome to everybody listening. I've got Tony Joins with me this evening and Luke Parsons, the dream team at Newark Town Football Club. So we've just been talking about the boys and the football careers up to this point, and obviously then they've fallen into the management route. So Joino was approached.
Yeah, got approached by Paul Bagley to take it on, which we did the following year. Myself and Brett McNamara.
Okay, Brett was involved.
Yeah, I brought Brett in with me to do it. Ended up winning the Knox Alliance Division 1, as it was at the time, in the first season, and then applied to go into the Central Midlands the following year. So that's where my journey started.
Yeah, and then suddenly you must have met up with Luke at some point and said, I need you to come in for me and help me out.
Well, I think Luke, if I remember rightly, it was Rupert Thomas brought you into the squad, wasn't it?
Yeah, so obviously I was playing on the Sundays. Paul Allison was the captain on the Sunday, and I think he was helping Rupert out at the time as Rupert's assistant. And yeah, I think Paul asked me to come across on a Saturday, and yeah, that's how much I got involved on Saturdays.
Okay, so I know that you were coming manager because we'd come and did some pre-season training for you. I didn't do it this year for you, so I can't see you having a good season like you did the year before, Luke, because you had a proper coach coming out. Although Cookie might have something to say about that one. So your first year, let's talk about your first year as management. How did it go?
So my first year as management, I think I got approached by Dame Mary Parkinson, who took the job in, I think it was January. And then, because I couldn't commit because I was doing the Sundays, and I said I wanted to finish the season out before I thought about doing Saturdays. So Damo approached me back end of sort of February and said, will you do it with me next year? And I said, absolutely. So I think we started together as joint managers in the summer of, I think it's 2019, 2020. Damo ended up moving on. He moved on to Frickley. So I took over sole charge around about, I think it's about November time. Approached Tony to come in as my assistant. I thought I needed helping hand, and obviously I played under him before, so I thought there's no better person to give me wise words in my first managerial job than Tony. And then yeah, I think it was during the COVID seasons we did. In my first season, the season got curtailed in February.
Yeah.
I think it was topped by about 8 points, a couple of games to go. So unfortunately, yeah, that got curtailed, and then the next season I think we only managed to do 5 games before that one got finished as well.
Oh yeah, because it did start and then it just went downhill again, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointed really, because as a manager, my first loss in the league came against Retford in the last game before it got curtailed in the second season. So, and then obviously with family issues, I stepped away the following season, which Nathan took charge of, got the club promoted, and then I got back involved again. I got the call to.
Oh, okay. So you've had a break, haven't you?
Yeah, I had a year off. Obviously, Nathan Arnold came in and did what the club wanted him to do, and they got promoted.
Right.
And then Nathan moved across to the Newark and Sherwood. So there was a vacancy up and running again, and Tony asked me to apply for it, and I was a bit unsure at the start because obviously didn't know the situations at home and everything, but I went for it and ended up being taking it back on with Nick Anderson to start with. I think a couple of months down the line things happened and I ended up going solo again. And
was that this year?
This was last year.
I was going to say, because we did some training down at
July, August, you helped me with training.
So I remember. So Nicky Anderson, he didn't stay too long in there.
No, he did. He did a couple of months, and we very much had different views on how we wanted to run things. And in the end, we had a discussion about it, and Nick decided to step away. He thought in his mind that was the right decision. I didn't really want to step away because I put me all into it, so in the end we agreed between me and Nick that I'd take it on, and I end up just bringing an assistant in, Stephen Venables, and he's been with me ever since. And
so he's still there, is he?
Yeah, he's still there, and we seem to get on like a house on fire. And I think we had a really, really good season last year. This season we've probably had a couple of sloppy games
So just go back to back season though, because last season you got promoted, is that right?
No.
Or did you get close to promotion?
Yeah, last season we got to playoffs. And we the way the playoffs worked last season was we finished fifth, so we played second away from home in a one-legged tie. And we narrowly lost 3-2. So that was it, the playoffs were over, and yeah, unfortunately our season come to an end.
Okay. That's a bit sad. We'll come back in a minute then. We'll have another quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this season, how it's going so far. So I want to talk about football pitch and everything else as well. So we'll speak to you in a few seconds.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk. Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens are a local, independent, family-run business. We supply and fit bathrooms and kitchens, and we've been serving the Newark area for the last 10 years. We do everything, from a single tap to a full bathroom or kitchen, all supplied and fitted. Come and visit our large showroom, with designs for all styles and budgets on display. We're next to the police station on Queen's Road in Newark. When you're planning your next bathroom or kitchen, think Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens. Call Newark 703-4 one or check out our website newarkbathroomsandkitchens.co.uk.
Smith's Timber Merchants are a family-run business serving the local community. Our range of products is enormous and our customer service is second to none. It's one of the reasons we've been around since 1862, and we offer free local delivery with no minimum value. We're open Monday to Saturday from 8 till 5 and Sundays from 10 till 2. Smith's Timber Merchants are proud to be local. Visit us on Appleton Gate, Newark. Call Newark 702573 or find us online at smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. Tony Joins and Luke Parsons from Newark Town are with me. Thank you guys for coming in. So this season then, Luke, started okay?
Yeah, we've started okay. I think I look back what we did this time last year, we're probably just in front of what we was last year. We had probably a few slow games to start with, I think pre-season availabilities and starting the season July the 30th, so it's kind of like holiday season and
still early that, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is early, and I mean the season finishes in April, but I mean a couple of years ago they used to finish in May and used to start mid-August. Obviously, yeah, going back to we had availability problems towards pre-season, and it probably took it into the season, in all fairness. I think it wasn't till about four games ago that we had a settled squad of
availability, as in players missing and
People have been on their holidays, people, you know, had niggles, and obviously a few people have been away, like I say, with family, etc, etc.
Did Joy no get his boots out?
No, he wasn't quite that desperate.
Definitely not, mate.
Obviously, but then recently, I say last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, we've had a settled squad, and I think you can tell that because the results have all been positive.
Yeah. So is it about sixth in the league at the minute?
Yeah, we are
sixth.
So
you're up there, aren't you? And it's really, really early days. And you're still in the cups as well, aren't you? I just noticed a couple of results.
Yeah, well, that's the progress from last year, I suppose. We obviously winning last Wednesday against Hucknall in the League Cup, because I progressed to the next round of that, whereas last year we lost in the first round, lost to penalties and deeping. And then in Notts Cup we progressed this Wednesday when we beat Retford, and I think last year we lost to Southall in the first round. So and then obviously the Vars, the first round of the Vars, we won 6-0 against Holbeach, and obviously we didn't enter that last year.
Right, okay, so that's a great result, by the way.
Yeah, yes, a really good result for the club. Holbeach are a good side as well. And obviously, we've got next round Lincoln United, which will be a very tough game, a bit of a local
derby. Local, is that
home? No, that's away. So it's Saturday the 30th, away at Lincoln United. The club have actually put a bus on, 53-seater for the supporters. So if any support wants to get on board with that, speak to Matt Ridyard or Sarah Robinson. And yeah, would love you to come along and support us in that.
Oh no, that'd be great. That'd be the second round of the Vars, then, yeah?
Yes, it will, yeah.
So, great stuff. So who's doing all the damage up front for you, and how's the team playing? Just give us a feel of the players, because I've been the only player I think I really know is Chambo up front. So,
So Chambo missed all the pre-season. He picked up an injury last season in the playoffs.
I don't think he did, you know. Just wanted a break.
probably. But I think on Wednesday was his first game playing without his knee brace. So obviously missing all of pre-season, we had Lucas Cottrell, who we signed last season round about November. A bit of a rough diamond. I'm sure some people listening to this will know this if I describe him as it. But me and Jones have quite often said he reminds us of a young Simon Ellison. A bit unorthodox. But effective.
Yeah.
So Lucas, he's come back pre-season. We liked what he did last season, but this season he's come back completely different beast. He's come back full of confidence. He gets in the well, lads, even more so, and he's worked really, really hard. So Lucas, and then we signed Elliot King. A lot of Newark lads will know him from his time at Flow Surf.
Yeah.
We've got George Asplin banging the goals, and then, like I say, Chambo's just come back from injury, really, in the sort of last 4 or 5 weeks, and then he got back to having a hat trick on Wednesday night, so back to his best.
That's amazing. We're going to come back in, we're going to have another little break, and then we're going to come back. I want to talk about the facilities and the pitches and things like that, because obviously you're on a 3G at the moment, aren't you? So I'm going to chat about that. So we're going to have a little break, and then we'll be back in a few seconds.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Change for Life is about small changes we can make to be healthier. For loads of ideas to cut back fat, watch the salt, make sugar swaps or get you 5 a day, just search online for Change for Life.
Newark's Dragon Boat Festival is coming. It's back on the River Trent and Riverside Park on Sunday, the 17th of September. Come down and cheer on everybody in the boats, raising much-needed funds for Beaumont House and the Children's Bereavement Centre. Radio Newark will be there too, broadcasting from the Sonning Riverboat, River Cruise Newark, with the Big Dish Energy. There'll be fun for all the family, rides and attractions for the kids, great local food and drink, and a huge stage full of local entertainment. Join us as we broadcast live from Newark's Dragon Boat Festival from 10 a.m. on board the Sonning Riverboat, River Cruise Newark. Newark Dragon Boat Festival, Sunday the 17th of September from 10 a.m. until 5:30. Riverside Park, Newark.
The ASA regulates UK ads across all media, including radio, to make sure they stick to the rules. You should be able to trust the ads you hear, whether you love them or hate them. So we're by your side and keeping our ears open, because every little helps. The ASA, keeping ads legal, decent, honest and truthful. Oh, yes.
Radio Newark.
Keep it.
Radio Newark Sports with Gorey. I've got Jono and Luke with me from Newark Town Football Club. So, at the minute, guys, you're down at the YMCA.
That's right, yep.
3G pitch.
4G.
It's 4G, is it? Okay. So, thanks, Jono. What's the future hold for Newark Town while they're there? Because where were you before that opened?
Well, obviously, the club's been playing out at Collingham. Prior to that.
Okay.
I think we've been up at the YMCA for 4 years now. And before that, obviously, for the facilities, we needed to play the level of football where we was, which was the Central Midlands at the time. Floodlights and certain aspects of the ground have to be there for you to play that level. So we had a very good tenancy out at Collingham, and as a club, we're obviously grateful for the kind of facilities they provided for us. And then the opportunity came up where the YMCA offered a facility back in the middle of town where Newark Town have always tried to get back to. It became available, so we took it with both hands.
And they've had quite a lot of work done down there, Tony, haven't they?
It's getting to a stage now where it's really starting to look like a proper little football ground. You know, people will have their own views on it. We've had two new stands put in last year, back end of last year, which has now give it that homely, groundy feel. Obviously, floodlights. I'll always be a grass man for football. I do believe football should be played on grass. But when you get a facility like this, right smack bang in the middle of town, it was just too good to turn down.
The building works that were going on for a while, they've finished now, haven't they? There's a nice building next to it. What's that housing, Tanner?
So the main building is the YMCA functional depot, so it's got everything that they provide in there, which includes our changing rooms, our after-match and pre-match facilities. It's got a bar, it's got a caf, so it's got all the facilities that well, for us, is what we need to progress as a football club.
Yeah.
I've not used any of the other facilities there personally, but yeah, you know, it's now the building's actually as it should be rather than a building site. It does feel a little bit more like home.
Okay.
Which has obviously shown an increase in the crowd attendances that we've been receiving. So
what numbers are we talking about?
We're roughly hitting in and around 150 to 200 round about there. The odd game just dropped below 150, but yeah, the attendance is up. Well, since we first started playing there, are up pretty much 70-80%. So,
yeah,
it's all going in the right direction.
So, who's the investor in Newark Town at the minute? Have you got?
We've got several sponsors. We Don't really go down the route of one sole investor, because you know, if that falls flat, then
it's a great idea.
Your club floor flat. So we've got Motorfinity, DCR Electrical, Boulderton Tiles Centre, Jordan. So we have a collection of people that obviously help us to fund the football club.
Brilliant.
Along with that, Sarah Robinson, Gary Johnson do a hell of a lot of work on the media side, as in for promoting the club for the business side of things. Craig Mountney does a hell of a lot on our social media, which obviously puts everything out there. The club's got a massive backing now off the field. So not only are we doing well on the field at the minute under Luke's guidance, off the field we've got just as good a team, if that makes sense, which is obviously trying to support Luke and doing what he's sort of trying to do. So the whole club is pulling in the same direction. There's a lot more as a club now. The first team is a lot closer to the youth development now.
Well, that's my next section. Question is actually, have you got an academy, or have you got some sort of development?
Yeah, we've Lewis Chambers has just brought his mini school to the club, and now he starts the kids off when, well, is it about 4 or 5, I think?
Yeah, 4 to 6.
4 to 6, so they start at 4 to 6, and then we've got teams right the way up to under-18s.
Wow.
We're looking at starting under-23s this year, which we're hoping to get off the ground. And then you've also got our ladies section.
That joining.
Yeah, you've got our ladies section, which is growing by the day.
Yeah.
Mark Nesbitt, bless him, who's sadly no longer with us, did a fantastic job setting that up. And the people now that's there now are obviously taking on his legacy.
Yeah.
And pushing that further, resulting in what we now have is a very good ladies first team under the management of Julie.
It's amazing, and the club's come on leaps and bounds over the years,
massive,
hasn't it?
Massive, mate, yeah, massive.
Yeah, so what's your thoughts realistically this year? Do you think you can get that promotion this year?
Absolutely. That last season when we got coming to league, step six, first season there, we just wasn't really, the goal was to basically be successful at step six, make sure we cement position at step six first and foremost, and we end up getting in the playoffs last season. This season we want to be doing exactly the same. Playoffs was our minimum aim. Obviously the start of the season we've had, obviously there's a couple of teams sort of Clipson have won 8 from 8 to start with.
Yeah.
And unfortunately in our league only one go up, and then it's second to fifth is playoffs, so you don't get any prizes for really finishing second other than you play the playoff game at home. So last season we finished fifth. Our aim minimum really is to finish fifth this season. Realistically at the start of the season I wanted to go for top spot if we could. It's still there. But there's some very, very good teams in our league, and
who's sort of going to be up there with you this year?
Clipson are currently top, they're 8 from 8, and then Bourne are second. I think they won 6, drew 2. We played them at home a couple of weeks ago and we drew 1-1.
They got a very late,
well, to be fair, we scored in the 96th minute, which we thought that was it. That was a winner, 1-0, having played sort of 45 minutes with 10 men. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I'd say there was three or four minutes added on after that, and then Bourne, yeah, scored last kick of the game to frustrate us and go 1-1. But yeah, they'll certainly be up there. They're a good side.
That's great news. Johnny, what's your current role at the club? That's one somebody asked me that the other day. What does Tony, because Tony's been with the club a long time, I said, and they said, right, okay, so we know he's been manager, we know he's played a bit, what's he actually doing now? So that would be,
I fill the water bottles now, mate, that's about it. No, So I got offered a role by the club last year to run the off-field stuff. So basically, to cut it down short, is my job is to make everything off the field good.
Okay.
So Luke, has it easy on the field? Well, not easy. Concentrates on the field, so he hasn't got to worry about anything else. Because in my tenure as manager, I did everything basically. I had people with me like Jim Todd at the time, Dave Ursville came in, people like that to help me, and I had Adrian Speed and Dorsey and people like that came and helped me. Obviously Brett started off, Rupert, But I was doing everything from team sheets to getting the kit to washing it, not actually washing it, but taking it, you know, so everything. So now all we want Luke to concentrate on and do is what he's good at, is the first team. And my job is, if Luke has an issue or wants something doing or something like that, he'll relate to me, then I obviously try and get it sorted. So I suppose, really, probably the club call it first team chairman, but yeah, it's just basically making sure everything's good for Luke on the field, basically.
You're just allowing Luke to do what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I made my own decision to come out of the dugout. Okay. I think it gets to the point, I've done it for so long, and I just think it needed a fresh face. And the first year I had with Luke, which was one of the reasons I wanted him to come back, was I knew in the first 3 or 4 months that Luke has got the ability to do the job, and that's your connections and obviously your ability to get what points you need across. I knew Luke had that, so when I got given the job to get the new manager after Nathan, I obviously asked Luke to come in with obviously a good friend of mine, Nick Anderson, and we did have some very, very good applicants for the job. But the club decided to go back with Luke as an unfinished business, and Luke was very unlucky in the club last year not to get promotion last year, and this year, you know, we're 100% behind Luke. We do believe he's got the tools to do the job. It's all about the results on the pitch now, and you say the club's in probably the better place that I've ever seen it since I've been at the club, to be fair, with the off field and the on field joining up together. So
it sounds like you're all in a good place. And do you have to have stands at your level? Is there a thing about
we just had 2 stands put up last year, there's a 165 seater over the far side as you're facing the pitch, and then a bit closer to the dugouts we've got to, I think that's a 63 seater with disabled access as well. We have got plans for player tunnel, electronic pay gates, all them are in the pipeline. I'm not saying it's going to be in the near future, but we've got plans, that's our next stage. And then hopefully with Luke's guidance, hopefully the club will grow on the field, as in stepwise, and then hopefully the ground will go with us. Obviously that ground will only take us to a certain level.
Yeah, because obviously step 4, is it you said, or step 3?
Yeah, I think it's either it's definitely 4, might even be 3. Right. But that's enough for us to work on. We're back in the middle of town, the spectators are coming through the gate, and they're growing pretty much every week, and that's all you can wish for.
No, it's been amazing. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in tonight. I really appreciate it. Newark Town's in a great place. It's in great hands, and good luck for the season. Just before I go, I'm going to do something a little bit unorthodox, because I noticed Luke's got a Leeds top on. How's Leeds going to do this year, Luke?
Hopefully we come back up, but yeah, I've had a bit of a turmoil summer, to be fair, so a lot's gone off, but you know, championships are hard.
Like
league.
They got over it when they got promoted, and they got themselves in a good place. And then all of a sudden, it's just gone pear shaped again, hasn't it?
First season back in the Premier League was brilliant, and then kind of made bad decisions off the pitch. Brought players in who weren't good enough, and in Premier League football, you make errors on a regular basis. You end up getting relegated, and that's unfortunately what we did.
Joino, everybody in the world knows Joino is a West Ham fan. Come on, Joino, where are they going to finish this year?
Well, we've had a good start. I think we're sat 4th at the minute. It's one of them with West Ham. You're not a West Ham fan because you're going to win trophies. You're a West Ham fan because you love the club. We was fortunate to win a European trophy last year.
Massive result.
There's not many clubs can say that. I think the sale of Declan Rice, for him I wanted it to happen, but that money's been well spent, as I can see it at the minute. So we'll be just outside the playoffs, I think, round about there.
Cushy. Guys, really appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. We have got next week, we've got Newark and Sherwood FC coming in, so we look forward to that with those boys, and we'll have another chat similar to tonight. We've got Dean on in a few minutes, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
hold.